The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
This morning, we're going to be continuing with our series, Connect. And as Jerry mentioned, Connect series is all about our communication with God, how that happens, how God allows it to happen, and how He set that up for us, and how we can be better at that. That's really what this is about. It's how we can draw closer to God and really take advantage of this powerful tool that we have of being able to connect, have a conversation with God. And I know that communication is important, right? I mean, as families, as married couples, communication is vital. If something breaks down in the family, if something goes wrong, it's usually communication. It's vital. I mean, I think even in companies and organizations, if something breaks down, it usually has something to do with communication somewhere along the way. And so it's so important, and we've learned so far that God actually has crafted us for communication. We were created to be in a relationship and to be constantly in communion with each other. So, knowing all that, we know it's important, and so this morning we're going to actually focus on the formula for connection. So, I hate to do this because sometimes we open the Bible and we're like, God, give me like a formula, give me a recipe that I can follow, and then my life's going to be perfect, or whatever it is I'm working on is going to be perfect. And it doesn't always work that way, but we do know that God has guidelines that He set for us. He does have things for us to follow, and when we're diligent in following those things and doing the things that He's called us to do, then it just works. And so that's why we call this this morning formula for connection, because if we follow God's steps, see, it's not about us trying to do all the right things. It's about us living in obedience to God, because when we're obeying Him and we're doing what He's called us to do, then things are going to go the way He said they would go. And the same thing is true for our communication with God. And God desires communication with us so much that it's so important. I mean, He put this all throughout His word. And so that's why it's so important. Let's read our passage. We're going to be just looking at two verses in 1 John. And I'm actually going to do something. We'll start out in 1 John, and then we're going to kind of jump around, because since prayer and this idea of connecting with God is just running throughout Scripture, we're actually going to focus on like three or four different places in God's word that talk about elements of communicating with God. And we're going to take all those elements and put them together somewhat in a formula, which don't think of it as a formula, even though it's the title. Think of it more as steps that God's given us in order for us to have the kind of communication with Him that He wants us to have. Does that sound good? So let's read 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, and then I'll kind of start us out into this idea. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." Let's pray. God, I lift up this room to You this morning, God, as we embark on this little journey this morning, God, and through Your word, and we explore how You want us to effectively communicate with You. God, I pray that it wouldn't just be a system. It wouldn't just be steps that we follow, God, but it would be something that comes from our heart. Once we have a clear understanding, God, of what You ask of us, I pray that it would just become a part of who we are as we strive to live lives and be more like Your Son, Jesus. And this morning, God, as we talk about what it means to be able to communicate with You on the level that You desire, I pray that You would make it clear to us, God, that we wouldn't have any doubts, Father, about what our part is in that. And I pray, Father, that as I share these words You've given me, God, that they would be Your words and not mine this morning. Thank you, God. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So I think there's some misunderstandings about prayer that maybe for some of us facing those head on right at the front is going to help us have a better understanding of what it means to communicate with God. But I think sometimes we think of prayer as being this way of passing information from us to God. Okay, like as if God is not well informed. He's just like, you know, what is going on down there on earth? I wish someone would talk to me so I know what's happening. And so we get the idea that we got to like tell God, okay, God, this is what's happening. And it's not about us giving God information. That's really not what prayer is all about. Because we're talking about a God that knows everything. Okay? So we have a God that's omniscient. He's everywhere at once, and he knows all things. And so that's the one that we're dealing with. And so when it comes to us revealing something to God, it's just not going to happen that way. We're not going to present God with any new information. God's not going to be like, oh, snap, I did not know that. This is brand new information for me. So I think another misconception we have about prayer is we think that maybe if we pray just the right things, then God's going to answer our prayer and he's going to give us exactly what we want. And so regardless of whether that thing is good for us or whether that thing is, you know, what God has intended for our lives, if it's something that we really desire, we really want it, and we follow certain rules in asking God for it, you know, we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're praying in Jesus' name, we're, you know, speaking in a certain tone. Sometimes we think that if we have all those things just right, then God's going to hear us, and he's going to respond to us based on all those things that we just did. And that's not true. Neither one of those things are true. Basically, when God hears us and when he responds to our prayer, he bases that on the sincerity of our hearts and our obedience to him. Where we are, where our heart is lined up with God's. Because the truth is, if your heart is lined up with God's, the things that you're asking God for, the things that you're talking to God about, are going to be the things that are important to God as well as to you. Because your heart is lined up with God's heart. Does that make sense? Okay? You've been in a relationship with someone for a long time, whether it's your spouse or whether it's a family member or something, and you kind of know, get to know what they want or what they're thinking, and sometimes you like finish each other's sentences. Have you done that before? Debbie and I do this all the time. I'll be in the living room, and I'll be like, honey, can you make me? And she'll be like, make your own sandwich. So she finishes my sentence. So we're like on the same wavelength. The truth is that we all, if we can align our heart with God's, then we really can basically have a better understanding of what God wants for our lives. And when we bring those things before God, God's going to say, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that that's what you need as well. And so that's what our communication with God looks like. And so the first thing that I want you to take with you this morning is that we need to have an authentic connection with God. We need to have an authentic connection. And let me kind of explain this word authentic. Because sometimes when you go to buy something in the store, you're looking for a brand name, right? You want to make sure it's the real thing. We used to do a mission trip down to Rosarito every year. And they have this, you know, nice marketplace, outdoor marketplace, and you go through, there's all kinds of cool stuff. But when you come to the table with all the sunglasses on them, and they're selling these, you know, Oakleys and Ray-Bans for like $12, something's not right there. They're not authentic. And so when we say authentic, we mean genuine. We mean the real thing. And our relationship with God, our communication with God, if it's going to be authentic, we have to be genuine with God. We have to be sincere with God. Look at John 4, verses 23 and 24. This is a conversation Jesus is having with a woman at the well who's basically asking him, how can I have this kind of relationship with God, this kind of back-and-forth relationship? And he says this, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So obviously, this worshiper is a person who is in communion with God. But I started looking at the word worship and digging a little bit deeper, and I discovered something that's maybe a little bit shocking for you. The word worship in the Greek is proskuneo. It literally means to kiss. It literally means to kiss. And I started thinking about this. If you were seated next to a stranger at a bus stop, and you leaned over and just gave him a little peck on the cheek, what do you think would happen? You'd get slapped, yeah? I mean, I don't know. Might be the beginning of a beautiful relationship. But for the most part, you don't just run up to a stranger and plant one on him, right? You don't do that. And so this idea of worship is like an intimate expression of our hearts to God. I mean, if the root is to kiss, that's a pretty intimate relationship with somebody. You reserve that kind of affection for someone that you know really well. And I think what we find happening in our lives, in the lives of people that are, you know, call themselves followers of Christ, we find ourselves kissing a God that we don't really even know that well. It's almost like God's a stranger to us, and we just go up to him and want to plant a kiss on him, and God's just like, I don't really know you that well. And so this idea of being in communication with God and worshiping him is getting to know God, really becoming close with God, because if we're going to have the kind of communication that God desires us to have, and it's going to be this spiritually affectionate relationship with him, we've got to get to know God. We've got to draw close to God. And God promises that if we draw close to him, that he's going to draw close to us. That if we begin to just be willing to be close to him, God is going to be the one that draws us near. James 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You want only what will give you pleasure. Think about this in light of what it means to truly worship God, to really have this communication with God. Because many times, the relationship that we want to have with God is really for our benefit. And so when we go to communicate with God, it's all about us. And that's not the way God designed it. That's not the way he set this whole prayer thing up. And so when I say we need to have an authentic communication with God, I mean that we need to be real with God, we need to be genuine with God, we need to be sincere, and we need to make this about him and about us, this relationship with him and us, and nothing else. You know, God is going to bring us, and we have this promise in his word, that he's going to bring us the desires of our hearts if we're putting him first in our lives. And sometimes we think that means that if we put God first, then God's going to give us all those things we've always wanted. But the reality is, the closer we get to God, and the more the things of God that are important, the more those become a priority in our lives, our heart begins to change. And the things that we want, the things that we desire, are no longer the things that we used to desire. They're no longer the things that we used to want. God changes those things as we draw close to him. And so I say this, our connection with God begins with a sincere heart and pure motives. Sincere heart and pure motives. So thinking of this as maybe like that first step in the formula, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. We always question people's motives anyway, right? Why are they being so nice to me? You know, someone makes you cookies, you're like, wait a second, you take a bite first, right? We're always questioning motives. And so having a pure heart, having pure motives for going to God, being authentic with God, is not an easy thing. And it's almost like a progress in our life. It has to be something that is a constant process that we're working out with God, where we come to him authentically. So God not only requires that we have this authentic connection with him, but the second thing is this, he wants us to have a specific connection, a specific connection with him. Look at John 14, verse 13. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Wow, that sounds like a pretty big promise. But once again, read this in light of a person who's coming to God with an authentic connection, with a heart with pure motives. That's why God can be so bold and say, I'm going to give you exactly what you're asking for. Because he knows that if our hearts are lined up with his, we're going to be asking for the right things. But God wants us to have a specific connection with him. Why do I say specific? He says, yes, ask me for anything in my name. And I look closer at this word anything. It's the Greek word tis. And it means a certain thing. A certain thing. So we're talking about a specific thing, like an item, okay? In other words, when we go to God, God is not wanting us to generalize our prayers to him. He's not asking us to come to him and just be real general about how we pray to him. As a matter of fact, I say this, God desires our conversations with him to be intentionally specific. Do not generalize your prayers to a detail-oriented God. Does that make sense? It's almost like we insult God because God is so detail-focused. God is a God that is intent on details. I mean, when the Bible describes what God knows about us and how much he loves us, we understand that there are details of our lives that no one else knows, and not even us, that God is quite familiar with. And so when we come to God in a real general expression, I think it's insulting to him because God wants us to be specific with him. When you sit down at a restaurant and the waitress comes up and says, what can I get you? Do you say, I'll have something to eat? That's pretty general, right? And that's the reason you were there, but she wants you to be a little more specific. Now, obviously, God already knows what our appetite's all about. He knows the things that we need, the things that we want. But God is still asking us to be specific with him, to enumerate the things, to not just insult him with a general prayer and just, you know, kind of like a blanket prayer that covers everybody. God, bless the entire world. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure God is just like, what does that mean? What kind of a prayer is that? I want to know names of people. I want to know the people that are on your heart. I want to know the needs that you have. I want to know the hurt that you're feeling. All of those things, God wants us to be specific about those things. So we're coming to him authentically with pure motives, and we're being specific in our prayers. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now think of that in light of being specific with God and having your heart aligned with God's heart. It really kind of changes this whole communication with us and God. Because God no longer becomes this ATM that we go to when we're in need of money. Last night we went to the ballpark and we were trying to get parking, and we pull it. First of all, they have like every other street closed when you get down close to the park. And so you're like, you know, trying to figure out how to even get to the parking. And when you finally get there and you realize that they want cash, you're like, oh no, I got to go to the ATM. Then you got to drive back through that maze, find the ATM, and then go back to the park. And I think sometimes we treat God that way. It's like we kind of try to navigate our way through life and just do it our own way. And then we run into a spot where like, oh man, this is going to require some divine intervention. So we go back to God, and we're like, God, here, this is my problem that I've got myself into. Can you help me? The reality is, if we're allowing God to be with us through that process, if we're allowing God to basically navigate us through that maze, he's going to be right there. Our heart is already in tune with God. And so when we go to pray to him, when we go to communicate with God, there's already this closeness. We're coming to him authentically. We're coming to him specifically. And even though God knows every detail of our lives, he wants us to name them. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him. That's the kind of relationship he desires us to have with him. So not only does he want us to have an authentic connection with him and a specific connection, but he wants us to have a secure connection. Secure connection. You know, in the world of the internet, a secure connection is a big deal, right? You don't want people stealing your identity, stealing your credit card. If someone steals my credit card, they're really not going to get very far. Or my identity. It's just not going to get them that far in life. But we're not talking about having a secure connection where it's like only us and God can hear what's going on. Okay, that's not the type of security we're talking about. When I say a secure connection, I mean a trusted connection. A connection that you can really put your confidence in. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "It is impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. So we must approach God with faith. We must approach him believing. That's what I mean by a secure connection. I mean, you're placing all of your confidence in this connection you have with God. You're trusting, first of all, that he exists and that the one that you're praying to is a real person who really cares about you and really can do something about it. Sometimes when we pray, it's like a hopefulness. It's like a, God, I don't know if you can do this, but if you can, please help. Or have you ever just thrown a prayer up to God and you're just like, oh man, I don't even know if you heard that one, but you're just like, it's like you're just grasping at something and you're not sure. It's like, you know, playing the lottery. You know, you're just not sure if you're going to, you hope you win, but you're not sure if you're going to win. If you're not playing the lottery, obviously, you know, you're not going to win. But that's not who God is. God doesn't desire that kind of like, you know, grasping at straws kind of relationship with us. God wants us to be secure in our connection with him. He wants us to have full confidence in that connection. And that's why he says it's impossible to please God apart from faith. In other words, it's impossible for us to kind of have that kind of connection with God that he wants us to have. Okay, that's what it means to please God, to be in the place that God wants you to be. And it's impossible to be in that place if you don't have faith, if you're not trusting in him. And once again, this is like a big part of this formula, and it's not easy to do. Faith is something that it should be active and growing in your life. It's also a process. Faith isn't just a one-time thing where you say, you know what, I want to begin a relationship with you. I put my trust in you, God. I put my faith in you. That's great. That's the very beginning. But every day, you have to renew that trust and that confidence that you have in God. Coming to him on a regular basis and saying, God, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I come to you with this prayer in full confidence. I don't think we understand this incredible access that we have with God, the fact that we have an audience with God whenever we want it. And that if we are putting our faith and our trust in him, that he's going to be hearing us and that he's going to be responding to our prayer. That's what I mean by a secure connection with him. See, we must approach our connection with God with a confident, unwavering trust. What does James say about having an unwavering trust? James 1, verse 6 says, "But when he asks, he must believe." This is talking about a person who's sincerely praying to God. "When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." And so the description is, you're just all over the place if you're not grounded in your trust with God. If your faith is not placed in God, you're easily pushed around. And when it comes to communication with God, the connection that God wants us to have with him, faith, trust, confidence in him is a must. If we're going to be serious about this connection we have. You know, if you consider the connection you have with God, the ability you have to pray to him and for him to talk to you through his word, if you consider that to be an important thing, a vital part of your walk with Jesus, then you're going to be on that path that God wants you to be on. But if it's not important to you, if it's not a big deal to you, then who are you trusting? Where are you placing your confidence? In yourself. And the first thing you have to do when you come to God is recognize that you don't have what it takes. So you're just going back to the old self, the old ways. The old ways of putting confidence and trust in yourself. And it's so easy for us to do. Because we're do-it-ourselves type of people. And God has to continually be removing that element from our lives and replacing it with confidence and trust in him. It's just an unnatural part of who we are to trust and place our confidence in God. But God wants us to have a secure connection with him. I love the description here because I get the sense that not only is this, if we don't have this faith or connection with God, not only is it bad for our relationship with God, but it's bad for every other area of our lives. I mean, to be unstable in life, that's going to flesh itself out in every area of your life. And so God brings stability. The connection that we have with God adds stability to our lives. See, our inability to trust God in prayer affects not only our conversation with Him, but also every other aspect of our faith. If we can't put our faith and our confidence in God, every other aspect of our faith is going to be affected by it. Every aspect of our lives is going to be affected by it. And maybe you have a relationship with God, but you also have this realization that things are not the way they're supposed to be in your relationship with Him. Maybe you feel like God is far away. Maybe you feel like no matter how hard you try, you just can't stay in the place where God wants you to be. See, I don't know, personally, I don't know what your relationship with God is like, but I do know what it can be like. I know that if you are being obedient to God and you're following His plan for how we're supposed to connect with Him, I know that it's going to come out the way God says. But if we rely on ourselves, we allow ourselves to be the one that's making the rules, it just doesn't work that way. My son Josiah started playing soccer. And by playing soccer, I mean he's on the field. There are soccer balls on the field. And he is wearing cleats. That's about as closely connected with soccer as what they're doing is. But it's fun to watch. I feel bad that I missed the one time where they did a scrimmage with another team. And Debbie described it to me as Josiah's team was just kind of like in this little herd, you know, moving around. And, yeah, just wherever the ball was, the kids were just trying to be, and not for any particular reason other than they just wanted to kick it or touch it. But Josiah, he thought it would be fun to just kind of run around behind everybody with his hands in the air, screaming, turning, spinning, picking flowers and things like that. He obviously has his own rules for soccer, right? The truth is, if he doesn't learn the fundamentals and he doesn't begin to apply the rules, how to play the game, he's not going to really benefit his team very much. And honestly, they're all 4 and 5 year olds, so I don't think any one of them is going to benefit from the other. But don't allow your life to be characteristic of just making your own rules. Just running around the field of life with your hands in the air, spinning, screaming. That's not the life God's called you to live. God has a much bigger and better plan for your life than that. But it requires following His formula, being obedient to Him. So if we want to be serious about this connection thing, if we want to be serious about the fact that we have a connection with God, we've got to follow God's rules. God's rules have got to be the thing that holds us together in this. But I want you to understand something. If you don't understand God's incredible love for you, if you don't understand the fact that God loved you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you, to give His life for you, if you don't understand the depth of God's love and just the incredibleness of His grace, you're not going to want this connection with Him. You have to experience His love. You have to experience His grace. That's just the beginning. That's just picking up the phone in this conversation you're going to have with God. And it's a lifelong conversation. A conversation for us that follow Christ, it never ends. It starts while we're here on earth when we begin that relationship with Jesus, and it continues on through eternity. And it's not like the rules are going to change when we get to heaven. We're just warming up for that here. We're just in practice.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.